That guy Elaine's dating seems really familiar to me. I think he might be a comedian I worked with one time. Wait a second. What is this?
This weekend, nobody beats The Wiz is slashing prices on our entire stock.
Nobody beats me because I'm The Wiz. Yes, I'm The Wiz. I'm The Wiz.
That is the guy.
Elaine's in love with the Wiz guy?
No, she thinks she's in love with him, but she's just remembering this old commercial.
That's pretty pathetic.
Listening to the Action Room. We've got anything and everything in geek entertainment. We've got new shows every Monday and Friday. We got a Facebook fan page. You can follow us on Facebook. We got a Twitter account. You can follow us on Twitter. You can click and listen to our show on our site, or you can download our episodes all the time. Every day you can download. That's right, everyone. We are the Action Room. Our podcast is insane.
That was awesome, Tony. You're like sweating, and it's not because it's the weather, the muggy weather out there.
It is a blistering day, Action fans, in New York City, and apparently there's thunderstorms on the way that are about to disable the entire New York metropolitan transportation system.
Now, speaking of our local area, people might not know what we were spoofing, but there was there were local electronic stores back in the day. Before the Best Buys took over and everything. One was the Action Room.
One was the Action Room.
One was, we had an electronic
store. We're going to travel back in time.
One was Crazy Eddie's, and another one was The Wiz.
Oh.
Now, I remember also, I guess...
Nobody beats The Wiz!
There was also 47th Street Photo, which was so funny because it wasn't on 47th Street.
It was on 43rd.
Yeah, it was on like 45th or something.
I only heard about The Wiz and Crazy Eddie. Out on Long Island, we didn't hear about 47th.
What did you have?
Crazy Eddie and The Wiz.
Oh, you did have Crazy. Oh, you're saying you didn't hear about the 47th Street. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think the 47th Street photo was a Hasidic Jew thing. The ones that the B&H photo.
Oh, like
photo.
B&H? Pre-B&H?
Okay. I think it's the same company. But anyway.
Crazy Eddie is legendary. Look the commercials up on YouTube. They were really groundbreaking as far as commercials go, too.
Yeah, and I remember I was
just
also
a guy screaming and hyperactive and speaking very fast.
They spoofed it a lot on like SNL and stuff. I think people probably kind of know it, if they didn't, you know, live in the area and stuff like that.
And they would go, Crazy Eddie, he's practically giving everything away.
Yeah. No, it was awesome.
And we are giving this show away for free.
And we're not practically. We are giving it away.
So you've joined the Action Room again. I'm your co-host, Tony Wolf.
And I'm producer Mike.
And he is the other co-host.
And the reason I thought this would be kind of a cool opening is that, you know, recently we found out that Midtown Comics, which is the big kind of comic store in the city here, is actually going to have a third branch, in Wall Street, downtown,
because
they have two in Midtown, because that's they're called Midtown.
Grand Central and Times Square.
And now a third one. And the other thing that we had learned is Hastings is going to be this chain of comic book stores in the Midwest or throughout the country or something.
Yeah, I guess they have like mini malls in the Midwest. Bleeding Cool reported about this. They have essentially like a Walmart, but it's a mall, and it's in the Midwest, and it has all these shops. And it's going to be the first United States national chain of comic book stores. The UK already has one, I believe, owned by Forbidden Planet.
And what will be interesting is, if, like with The Wiz, because there are no Wizes anymore.
They went out of business.
Best Buy took them all out. So, if something like a Hastings ends up taking over Midtown or something like that. Because
I don't
it'd be
think
cool.
it'll happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think it'll happen because by that point, probably there won't be comic book stores because they'll all be on the iPad. But I think that...
Hastings just seems so, like, Midwest. It's not for anything that's remotely metropolitan, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, a store is a store. Think about all the
I've
things.
Never even heard of Hastings.
No, I know, but think of... I didn't hear...
I lived in the Midwest for a
while.
But
I didn't hear of half the things that are now part of New York now. There are so many stores that are, like, taking over mom-and-pop stuff in the city.
But
I could
New
totally
York
see
has managed to fight and keep Walmart out for, like, 10 years, and we're still fighting that battle. So I bet Midtown Comics will fight to keep any Midwest mall-type interlopers out. Now, when Midtown moves to Wall Street and downtown, will they call it Downtown Comics?
Like with 20th Century Fox, I don't think so.
But they could call it Wall Street. Midtown Comics Wall Street. What will they call it?
Midtown Comics.
Midtown Comics Fulton. It's going to be by the Fulton Street stop.
Yeah, I won't ever be around there.
Midtown Comics downtown.
They say it's like state of the art. What does that mean? Like,
it's going to have lasers.
Downtown. Now, Midtown Comics will be great when you're...
What's interesting is this happens at the same... You'd think there'd be less comic book stores, but there's actually more.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they're also talking about everything going digital. So it's kind of
soon it's
going to
be like
thing.
Bodegas and delis. They're going to be at every corner of metropolitan areas.
Or I think what it'll be, the little kind of a, what do they call it, like where you
kiosk?
Can listen, kiosk, where you can like connect your iPad to download the, you know.
Right.
Actually, you won't even need that. You can download them without a kiosk.
It'll be like a gas station.
Yeah.
No, because now there's cloud programming,
comics. Well, so DC Digital just came out with their app for the iPad and the iPhone. And then Marvel, because we haven't mentioned this, but Marvel is going to do their first release of an iPad, of a comic that comes out in the stores and on the iPad on the same day.
Yes, they call it day and date release.
And it's the Invincible Iron Man Annual number 1, and that's June 30th. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I think, personally, it will basically put an end to... Because already, more people are probably going to download comics that way than even read comics at this point. So,
but the reality of the market, I mean... is that it will take at least 5 to 15 years for the paper-printed page of individual comics to go the way of the dinosaur. Right now, yes, the iPad is it's a big gateway thing for people who dabble in comics, but it really now is maybe like 15%, 10% of the market at best. Keep in mind, the Marvel app just came out like a month and a half ago.
But I think you know, you're underestimating the timeline these days, which is way quicker than
maybe
it used to be.
Maybe 3 to 5 years, but it's not going to happen like tomorrow or
next year.
I'm
not saying that comic book stores are going to like go out of business tomorrow, but what I am saying is that the idea of this iPad revolution and the fact that people are going to now download their comics and their books that way will definitely... you know, overshadow any sales that are happening in comics by at least 2 years, maybe less. Like, that's my personal
I don't know,
view.
Because the other thing is when you
I mean, people were saying they're not going to watch movies on a screen the size of their finger, you know, a few years ago, and they are now.
Yeah, but even look at book sales. I mean, it's not like, you know, e-readers and e-books have replaced the published
book. But they
book.
Didn't get it. But the iPad just came out. I'm telling you,
I know, but
are
books
change.
Still exist. Bookstores still exist. Publishing still exists.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you could have said that about record stores a few years ago. Things change. I'm telling you, things are
going
to happen.
Yeah, and vinyl
faster.
Is coming back now, too. But physical vinyl.
But it's all just kind of like retro, kind of specialized items. It's not doing anything. You know, it's not for... It's not, you know, there's always going to be bookstores. There's like a Bleecker Bob's down in the village that sells records and stuff like that. But it's not going to be the mainstream, the thing that most people do. It's going to be too easy to download everything.
Well, here's the other thing that I think will keep the paper market alive a little more, perhaps, than you're thinking, is that when you get a comic on an iPad... it's so disposable. Like, there's nothing to touch. There's nothing to feel.
Wow, you sound like musicians talking about albums. Yeah. Okay, anyway, go on.
I know, but I'm just saying, I think that will... albums are different. Albums are not books. Albums are music. Books
and paper.
People
love the idea of looking at that big visual of an album
cover.
Yeah,
but it's not something that you read. It's something that you
listen to, ultimately,
with a record.
But the thing is, more and more people are doing it, and I think you're forgetting about the generations who grow up without ever buying a comic, only downloading digital stuff, and they get used to it that way.
But movie theaters are still making real box office as far as revenue, as far as people going to actual theaters.
But I'm saying,
it's not that everyone is watching stuff at home or, you know.
But I'm saying, I think that's changing. And also with movies, the argument can be that people will always want to get out of the house and that there'll always be theaters for that reason. But
comic fans will always want to go to the store and get out of the house.
Right. Well,
we're isolated enough as it is. I don't know. We'll see.
But this is an
interesting
thing.
No question that it's a potential game changer.
This is because of you know, a couple things just happened in the news lately that deal with all this. One of the things had to do with the fact that there was just a dismissal on the side of the government, the court. They dismissed a $1 billion lawsuit that Viacom had against YouTube. And
from like 3 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, this is really scary. I mean, it took them 3 years to dismiss something. I mean, the whole thing is that...
Well, and Viacom basically lost. The idea was that Viacom was suing YouTube for putting copyrighted content, content from movie studios and film studios, available for free to just anyone. Of course, the creators, the writers, no one gets paid when it goes on YouTube. And YouTube was arguing... well, we're just, we're a host for this content. We're not making money off the content. You know, all these things. And it was basically like you were saying, Producer Mike, earlier about Napster. This is the whole Napster, iTunes, you know, free downloading of music argument.
And the whole thing is they're saying that, no, we'll do what the companies want us to do. YouTube is saying this.
Right.
We'll have subscription-based kind of, you know, right. formats or
and
whatever.
And there have been many companies that yank their stuff off YouTube. Like,
right.
you can't get anything Saturday Night Live anymore on YouTube.
But the problem is when these companies, like Viacom and stuff, start making deals with these sites like YouTube or Napster or whatever, that solves that individual site's problem.
Right.
But, they solved it with Napster. But then YouTube came about, and
right.
there's going to be something after YouTube, and already there's some other stuff that people download for free that isn't YouTube.
Well, you were saying you found sites where you can basically get anything, even stuff that's been pulled off YouTube.
First of all, my friend was telling me something where he can see any TV show anytime he wants, and that's not even BitTorrenting or whatever.
Right.
That's
right.
like just literally watching it on a site, you know, which is basically like YouTube, but there's a million other things. That's why what they need to do is they need like certain laws to be set for the internet, and this affects everybody. This affects everything in entertainment. Actors, you know, getting paid.
Right.
You know, people, everybody getting paid. Because if they don't do that, so that's why it's really scary that this was just dismissed. You know,
well, you're taking it from the perspective not from a 17-year-old kid who's like, cool, I can just get stuff for free. But you're looking at it from the perspective of, for the entertainment industry, how will the entertainment world continue to make money and get paid for their content if now all the content is free and everyone can have it?
Yeah,
and,
I mean, everybody likes that freedom of the internet, but it's going to come at a cost in the long run.
Right.
You know, if companies aren't making money anymore, they can't make any new content, you know,
Do you pay for your music online? No, I feel like you've told me you download music for free all the time.
No, I do it all the time. But what I'm trying to say is I'd love that to be limited. I'd love them to say you can't do this anymore.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you allow it, people are going to do it, you know? What I mean, it's just so it's not my fault that there's no law. It's their fault, and they should have a law, you know. So, but along those lines, there was another thing that an article that I read, and this has to do with like how people are getting movies and stuff.
Right.
And it said that downloading pirated films are no longer Hollywood's worst nightmare, but that's because, that's only because of a newer menace: cheap and equally illegal subscription services. And it was basically saying that foreign, often mob-run businesses aggregate illegally obtained movies into cyber lockers, similar to the internet storage sites used by individual consumers to squirrel and away pirated video. But the for-profit version of this phenomenon has spawned an array of sophisticated and seemingly reputable sites selling unlimited digital movie files for as little as $5 a month. So that's basically saying that for $5, you can download anything you want. There's no way a
$5 a month. Because I see people on the streets.
There's no way a studio is going to make money if that's all they're making.
Yeah.
You know?
I see people selling pirated, you know, DVDs on the streets of New York, but it's usually like $5 a pirated video.
That's the argument, is that there's always been pirated. Yeah, people have always pirated
Well,
things,
no, the
you know
digital
I mean?
World is definitely going to change piracy.
Well, that it already has.
But even worse, it's going to get much worse.
And if there aren't laws set, it's all over. It's all over. I'll just go back to the fact that I've been predicting this for a while.
You've been predicting the death of the entertainment world.
And it
world.
Is coming true. 2012, I'll still stick with it, is the death of entertainment. Go ahead, Tony.
I don't. You also, Producer Mike has said that he thinks movie theaters will cease to exist in like 2 or 3 years, and I don't think that'll be the case.
Fine. Keep movie theaters around. Still.
Everything else.
Try to find anybody who's making a buck in 2 years, okay?
Right. Well, they'll always find ways to make bucks.
But they won't. That's the point. This is the big problem. You can't find a way.
But these articles have been talking about one of the mob run, this thing about illegal paid digital movie distribution. They did say at the end of it, what we need are firmer laws, specifically just like the other thing we talked about with Viacom and YouTube and content like that. I think the government is always slow to do things, but I think you will see.
They can't even cap a fucking oil.
Right. But you will see more specific laws to combat this kind of piracy being drawn up in the next year, I think.
Okay, here's the deal.
By that point, though.
Yeah, the reason why you're wrong is the government never does anything anymore. They can't fucking cap the oil. They can't stop a war. They can't do anything. They can't even fucking agree to stop the emissions from each country so that we're not, you know, suffocating on our own.
But
fumes,
realistically,
you know?
They do things. They will do something.
No, but the thing is, realistically, they don't. And the last thing on their mind is to save the entertainment industry. I'm telling you.
That is probably true.
They got other things to ignore.
Right.
But anyway, all right. So that's my gripe. I just had to talk about.
No, this is very relevant. This is the future of digital entertainment, really, that we're discussing here.
But besides all that, let's enjoy the fact that Midtown got a new location. Midtown Comics got a new location, and that's exciting.
Woo-hoo.
That's good.
Yes.
So we'll
go down there and check it out, and we'll see the state of the art computer digital. Maybe they'll have like iPads lined up where you can just read the comic there.
And this might be too early, but anyone who's actually maybe in earshot of our show who enters a Hastings comic book store,
that's a
let
good
us
idea.
Know what
yes.
you think of that.
All right, everyone, we just covered a lot of news. I was yelling. I was doing Crazy Eddie earlier. I think it's time for a break, producer Mike.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So have a word from our sponsor.
We have to towel you down.
Towel me down. Or if we don't have a sponsor, how about just some music? And we'll be right back.
Okay. Later.
Nobody beats the biz.
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 You know what I feel like, producer Mike?
What's that, Tony?
I think it's time for this. It's time for the Nerd News. And let me just say that our little intro to the Nerd News, Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, is so freaking jealous of this.
And it also, it's gotten the most downloads on iTunes of
the
anything.
Nerd News, it's on everyone's iPods and pads.
All right, wait, was that the intro? Okay.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Just listen to this. As intros go, NBC News is just envious of this intro.
Nerd News.
That actually might be NBC's intro. I just put Nerd News over it.
John Williams wrote the theme for that.
All right, so we have a lot of nerd news, but one thing I wanted to say that I totally forgot that I kind of wanted to use as part of our little theme here about courtroom drama here is I went on jury duty, which was a horrible experience, and I've done it about four times now. What's good about it now is that once you're done, you're done for 6 years.
In New York State.
Yeah, in New York State.
They keep extending.
No, I was talking to someone else, I think in Brooklyn, who's done for 8 years. I was like, wow, it's so different. But
they
anyway,
like them more than you.
Yeah, basically. But no, it was a really horrible experience, and the thing is, I have to say, I feel so sorry. As much money as they might make, I feel so sorry for lawyers that they have to just deal with that shit.
Yeah,
it is so boring. I'm glad we have that process in America, but it is horrible. I never want to like be on a jury. You know, it was disgusting.
And I've worked at law firm office jobs, and I see the detail and the minutiae that they have to work in.
I mean,
it's crazy.
You see that, and this was just for like little cases. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What it must be like for these like Viacoms and shit.
Yeah,
I mean, you have Viacom lawyers and Google lawyers.
Yeah.
Like, what is that about?
That's and while you're at it, write some laws so that the entertainment industry can make some money.
Please.
So the world doesn't end in 2012.
So the Action Room can maybe make a
buck. So the Action Room can make some money.
Okay.
All right. So in the world of the nerd news, first item, there's a lot of news, but there was also a comic that came out this week that was a very big deal. DC is celebrating, I believe, is it 45th anniversary?
Wow.
And Superman 700 hit the stands this week.
It's scary to think that we would remember like the 25th anniversary, and now it's the 45th.
Now, Batman 700 came out a few weeks ago. I loved it. Grant Morrison wrote it. It got great reviews pretty much across the board in the comic book world. Superman 700 came out.
That's another story.
I did not like Superman 700 very much. James Robinson wrote the lead story. Now, James, you were great when you wrote Starman back in the 90s. Then you went off to Hollywood, then you came back to comics. People were very excited. He's kind of become a kind of a hack. He tells adequate stories that are not terribly innovative, not interesting, often not fun. The Superman 700 lead story is, this is it. The Superman stops the parasite, easy as pie, goes home to Lois and says, I love you, Lois. I love you, Clark. I promise I'll try not to leave you again, but I might have to because of this life I lead as a superhero. I love you. Yay. We hug, we kiss. That's the story.
Do you make
that's the lead story of the 700th issue of one of the greatest superheroes ever.
Well, maybe they're hoping that people haven't like read a comic book
in 5 years.
You know, pick this up and are like, wow, this is amazing. Like, do you make those voices when you read it normally?
Oh, that story made me say those voices because it was like, that was the whole substance of the story. Morrison packed amazing things into his story. Paradoxes, time travel, different amazing things. This was, I love you, Superman. I love you, Lois. I can't. It's like
Promise me you won't get in trouble again.
I can't promise that. I lead the life of a policeman. It's a very dangerous life.
Oh, I love you.
The end. That's I almost turned the page. I was like, is that it? Now, the second story is by Dan Juergens, or Juergens, who lives in Minneapolis. And when I lived in Minneapolis, I saw him at a convention. He's a great guy. And he wrote and drew Superman in the 90s. He was behind the death of Superman. He was a very smart writer-artist, very capable. His style is a little dated, but he turns in a great, much more fun, much more entertaining story. It is old school, but it's about Superman helping Robin out on a case. And Batman's like, Robin, you're grounded, you can't go out. And of course Robin has to go out and fight crime. And it has a fun ending. It's very cute. It's much more innovative than the lead story, which is boring.
But now the lead story, Andrew Robinson, right?
James Robinson.
James Robinson.
Andrew Robinson's a great artist.
Oh, that's the guy I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
But do you think, because you're saying James Robinson, he went to do movies for a while, do you think that hurt his writing ability?
I don't know. It doesn't mean that you have to go to Hollywood to become a hack. You can just become a hack all by yourself.
So it just happened naturally.
Yeah. Now the third story is written by J. Michael Straczynski, who's about to take over the book, and J. Michael Straczynski sometimes falls into the trap, although he does it well. He says, I'm going to tell a human interest story with capital letters. So his idea is that Superman feels disconnected from humanity, and he's going to walk across America from the East Coast, from the metropolis, which is like New York, to the West Coast, and he's going to reconnect with everyday people and their lives. And he's not going to use his superpowers too much, and he's definitely not going to fly.
It sounds incredibly boring.
Now, this is it's an interesting hook. I get it. His writing is sharp enough that the introductory story actually doesn't feel trite.
So wait.
It feels decent.
Did I miss it? So this issue starts that story?
Yes. Superman 700 has three little short stories, and this was the third of the short stories,
gotcha,
which is a lead-in. I mean, it's gutsy. I applaud his guts. It does sound a little boring, but the VP of DC Comics, his argument was, we've just had 3-4 years of Superman battling huge alien threats and huge sci-fi, you know, whatever. Let's do something a little more down-to-earth and show why Superman is relevant to the average person. It's a bold approach. He's a good enough writer that the telling of it, even if the plot is boring, the telling of it was decent. I'll give it an issue. I'll give it a try when it
all
comes
right
out next
month. Well, it sounds boring to me, but if you tell me if it's worth getting.
Now, by the way, I just want to throw in, there is one comic from Marvel and DC that's reached higher numbers than 700.
What's that?
And that is the very first comic published ever by DC, Detective Comics.
What's that?
Detective Comics hit number 866 this week.
Wow.
That is, I think, the highest numbered comic ever.
Wow.
Maybe Archie hit 800 or 900.
That's a lot, though. That's a lot of comics.
Anyway, that had a fun story by Denny O'Neill. Otherwise, we'll see. Wonder Woman 600 comes out in a couple weeks. That's the next big milestone.
And do you think it's going to be any good?
I think it's going to be a lot better, hopefully, than Superman 600.
Okay.
700.
All right, so there were a couple trailers that came out. And,
yes, movie trailers.
One of them I wasn't actually too amped to see that ended up being great, and another one that I was amped to see that didn't end up being all that great.
You were amped to see that one?
Well, I don't know what we're talking about.
Tell me what they are.
Okay, the first one was Green Hornet with Seth Rogen. I was amped because it's Michelle Gondry, who's a great director.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it's also Seth Rogen, who I love. And I just was really excited about this. Trailer does not make me want to see this movie at all.
Yeah.
But I will say this much. I think for the type of film that Seth Rogen does and Gondry, it's probably a lot better than the trailer indicates.
We can only hope.
Yeah, I just think there's probably a lot of nuances in the scenes between people that are really funny that can't be shown in a movie like this. And they have to make the trailer look like a big, you know, Hollywood
action movie.
But the problem is, that's been done so much at this point that it's really hard to get us amped about this. It just looks like, you know, a kind of a lame version of that.
I will say that Kevin Smith was enlisted by Miramax to write a Green Hornet movie years ago, and he did. He delivered a Green Hornet movie. They didn't want to use it. It never got made. It then got adapted into comic books, which are being sold now by some small company, I think Dynamite. And then they enlisted Seth Rogen to write a Green Hornet film. Basically, the trailer shows you, what if a slacker came into some James Bond-type gadgets and grew a conscience.
Now, is this like the original series?
I don't think it's anything like the original series. Green Hornet was more like a Batman.
Right.
He was a rich guy. He put on a mask. He fought crime.
But
he had a sidekick.
He was a little more low-tech, though, right?
He was low-tech. Yeah. He was very suave. He had Kato, you know, which was Bruce Lee on the show.
Because this seems like basically an extension of Kick-Ass. Let's just be superheroes. We're normal guys, you know. But the thing is, I have to say that.
This seems a lot more gadget-obsessed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like we like to see gadgets and stuff. The thing that'll be interesting, Michel Gondry was always about not having CG and doing practical effects all the time. So, but it looks like there's CG in this, and also the fact that Seth Rogen. I loved Pineapple Express. I love the fact when he mixes action with the comedy. Yeah. I just think it could be good, but the trailer that looked awesome.
Well, hold on. There's also the question of whether Seth Rogen should ever be an action superhero.
Right.
Pineapple Express is one thing. He's a stoner who's got to go get some things.
But he's kind of like that in this, too. That's the thing. He's not trying to be more than he is.
I predict bomb for Green Hornet.
I definitely think it's going to bomb at the box office, but I think it's going to be a better film than the trailer indicates.
Okay.
Red, though. Red is a movie with Bruce Willis that looks fucking awesome. And it's now you can explain what...
It's a Warren Ellis miniseries. Warren Ellis wrote this for Wildstorm. A while ago, Warren Ellis did like 3 or 4 little miniseries. High concept, get in and get out, 5 issues, 3 issues. They had great artists attached. Red was illustrated by a great artist who I love named Cully Hamner.
Oh, yeah,
who
like
our
him.
Former co-host of Fua Richardson is friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And all I knew was that it was some espionage action thing. I didn't even really read the book. I skimmed it. It looked cool, but, you know, you can only spend so many thousands of dollars on comics.
Now, everything is based on a comic book nowadays, and The Losers was as well.
Yes.
But this looks better than The Losers.
Yes.
You know, as far as things that aren't superhero.
As far as an action movie that has nothing to do with superheroes, it is based on a comic book.
Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich,
Mary Louise Parker. Yeah.
It looks really fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it.
And what's interesting is, whereas with The Losers, you could get the sense that it came from a comic book, if no one told you Red was a comic book first, I didn't think the audience would have any idea.
It was like back in the day when before the comic book adaptation movie explosion, that one that came from a comic book, that Tom Hanks movie. You would have never known.
Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition,
because it was
a
gangster film. Now, by the way, just in closing about Red, Warren Ellis is a very funny man, very brilliant guy. He said, this movie and this trailer gives you Helen Mirren with a sniper rifle.
Right.
You're welcome.
You know what it also reminds...
That is the most badass thing in the world.
You know what it reminds me of, to some extent, is... Remember The Grifters? That was like before...
Oh, yes, with Angelica Houston and before, John Cusack.
It was before the Pulp Fiction explosion, but it kind of started all that. It was a really great movie.
Yes, very true.
All right, so let's move on. The Marvel mini-movies.
Okay, this is just a rumor, by the way. This is not a guaranteed story, so let's put the rumor mark on this. There is a rumor in the entertainment world that Marvel, wanting to develop its B, C, and D-list characters that only comic geeks know and that aren't even that famous, they're going to do a series of 10-minute short films. I guess they would put them on YouTube or they put them on Marvel.com.
No, actually what they were saying is they'd be before the feature.
Oh, they'd be before the feature films.
Yeah, like kind of the way they used to do with Looney Tunes back in the day. They would have cartoons before.
So these films would feature things, live-action versions of characters like Luke Cage, Doctor Strange, maybe Black Panther, Power Pack, these other characters. We've heard rumors that Marvel wants to develop these B and C list characters as small budget feature length films, but maybe a smarter way and a quicker way and a cheaper way to introduce your audiences to them is through a short film. That would be great, and DC's done nothing like this. This is another time when Marvel is innovating in the film world faster than DC.
And Mortal Kombat just kind of did something like that, even though it was kind of a fan trailer in a sense, trying to get a pitch
for a real movie. Yes.
But one of these Marvel mini-movies might be Doctor Strange, which...
there's also rumors of a Doctor Strange feature film.
Right, but it is listed as one of these mini-shorts, and it might be started... They talk about Marvel mini-movies, of them being Doctor Strange...
But
they're also talking about a feature. But again, a lot of this is all in the beginning stages.
Right. So they enlisted official writers for the Doctor Strange feature film.
Who did also the new Conan movie.
Yes.
And Patrick Dempsey is Doctor Strange. Does he work for you?
There's rumors about that. Some Hollywood artist did up a thing with him. If it'll get women to the theaters, I guess. If the movie's written well, I guess. But I don't think he should play Doctor Strange at all. You need someone who's a lot more mysterious and classy and mystical and
with
an aura about them.
Who's the guy with the tan who played the vampire?
George Hamilton.
George Hamilton. Would he be a good Doctor
Strange? George Hamilton is Doctor Strange.
No, you need someone who...
Or Robert Evans.
Someone who has a little more darkness to him.
Right, right, right. They could just put a spray tan. I think with a mustache and stuff, he'd actually look okay. No?
He would need to bring a lot more almost Shakespearean intensity to Doctor Strange.
Dude, he was great in You Can't Buy Me Love. I don't know.
they're just using him as a way to get girls in because he's on Grey's Anatomy.
All right,
I don't buy it.
Speaking of actors that get put in films just to get box office.
Just to bring in members of one gender or another.
Although this doesn't seem to be working in her case. Megan Fox.
Yeah.
There was an article about the fact that, you know, she wants to ruin another comic book-based movie. And this.
Although
movie,
I will say, I just want to interject. Reviews of Jonah Hex, the movie didn't bomb because of her. In fact, most reviews that said the movie sucked, they said she was quite adequate and quite fine.
I personally think she actually is an okay actress.
Yeah.
I just think that she is kind of making some bad calls in her career,
yeah,
you know? And
yeah,
it's not completely her fault. But
she's taking what she can get, too.
But this is interesting because...
They ain't going to put her in a Kenneth Branagh film, let's be real here.
she might be in Thor, too. So she wants to play Rainmaker from the Gen 13 comic book. Not that there's any film planned, but she wants to do it if there is.
Now, because she already wanted to play Fathom, and that hasn't materialized yet.
I don't see many Top Cow features coming out.
Oh, but, you just watch.
Yeah, I know, soon. But
they'll be scraping that barrel.
But what's interesting is I've always thought of this, you know, because people were kind of like, is she really a nerd? Is she really into geek stuff, you know?
There were rumors that she had read some comics.
But I kind of believed it, and the reason I believed it, because we also found out that she wanted to be a comic book artist as, you know,
She claims that she used to go to conventions.
I have yet to see any evidence of this.
Here's
the thing. The reason I believe this is because I really get from her when I see interviews that she's very awkward. That she's not necessarily a stuck-up bitch like you'd assume, but that she's just really awkward.
Insecure and awkward.
And that speaks to me as her being a geek.
I'm sure you read comic books. If you're awkward, you've sat
at
home.
The thing that I think is hysterical is that part of the article was saying that she used to go to comic book conventions and show her portfolio, trying to be an artist. And I think it's so hysterical that you have these top cow professionals seeing this hot young Megan Fox try to show her art. It probably looked like shit. Like, it was just horrible work. But they were like,
she was pretty enough that they would look at that.
We want to work with you, definitely. She probably never followed up, but she could have been an artist.
If anyone on the internet can show me a sample of Megan Fox's portfolio and her artwork when she was like 17, please send it to the Action Room.
New goal for the Action Room. our main goal is still to get the guy who I can't remember his name, that actor studio guy, to sing the Thundercats theme.
James Lipton.
James Lipton.
James Lipton.
Okay, that's our main goal. But our second
goal... Nowadays it would sound like thunder, thunder, thunder.
Right under that would be Megan Fox to see some of her art.
Yeah.
So that is our main goal.
Show us your portfolio, Megan Fox. We'll have our people contact your people.
Or maybe just a...
We're repped by CAA.
Yeah, right.
We can get you over here.
Or maybe just to draw something for us.
Yes.
That'd be kind of cool.
Someone scan Megan Fox's artwork for portfolio, please.
And also, they were because this was an article through Fox, and they were mentioning that they made a big deal about the fact that Rainmaker's a lesbian or whatever. So, I don't know.
I'm sure lipstick lesbians want to see Megan Fox as a lesbian.
Yeah, it would be...
Non-lipstick lesbians want to see her.
Yeah, everybody wants to see her.
Everyone wants to see her.
The thing is, everybody wants to see her, but she's just kind of... Nobody wants to see her. I don't know. Like, it's like
she's kind of a non-presence, yet she's pretty to look at.
Yeah, that's about it. I do think she has a future, but she definitely has to do the right choices.
If she wants to prove herself as an actress, she should do an indie film where she plays a weird, awkward character.
See, the problem was, that kind of was what Jennifer's Body was, and it didn't do well, you know?
But she didn't play a weird, awkward character. She played a hot demon babe.
That's true. Yeah, weird, awkward. But that's not going to work. A hot girl who's weird and awkward.
You need to do a movie directed by Todd Solondz.
It's going to be her and Olivia Munn playing like geeks, you know? Like, it's some backwards world or something.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I think that may be our show. What do you think?
I'm looking at a blank piece of paper. So
I'm looking at it. We've run out of our Action Room bullet points. All right, so next episode, we are going to have a woman who could be the next queen of social media.
Oh, by the way, I just want to say that we apologize for anybody who did listen to the last episode. We did not have our assistant editor from Marvel come in this episode.
Yes.
She will
be... She had
be
to reschedule.
Rescheduling, yeah.
So now
we're going to talk about another guest that might cancel, but here you go.
No. This guest should be here for our next episode. Her name is Zane Avaton. And she is a social media expert. She's big on Twitter. She knows all about that stuff.
And
she's going to bring the social media world to the Action Room.
And it might be our first one where we have people drinking on the episode.
Yes,
so this will be interesting.
Drunk, and she'll bring her friend with us who's also a social media expert and a social media expert. And that'll be great on the Action Room.
All right.
Tune in next time.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We'll see ya. Okay, we're practically giving the Action Room away.